Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're really getting into some fascinating changes in Vancouver's green spaces. We're looking at landscaping trends for 2025.
Yeah, it's quite a shift. We're seeing climate, definitely regulations, and just, you know, lifestyle choices really redefining what a garden even is here.
Let's start with that climate piece. Vancouver's got this real split personality, right? The tale of two seasons.
Absolutely. You have those long, soaking wet winters. I mean, November can dump almost 10 inches of rain.
Wow.
And then, boom, summer hits. July, August, you might only get, what, just over an inch combined? It's intense.
That kind of swing puts huge stress on plants, doesn't it? And it's directly influencing design.
It is. And what's interesting is how that climate reality gets baked into the rules. You know, Metro Vancouver's drinking water conservation plan.
Right. The stage one restrictions, May to October.
Exactly. And they're strict for lawns. For you, the homeowner, that usually means watering just one morning a week, maybe Saturday, 5 to 7 a.m. if you've got sprinklers.
And there are fines.
Oh, yeah. $250 if you violate the rules. So it really makes you ask, okay, how do I keep things looking good, looking alive under those conditions?
Okay, but here's the kicker, right? The big exception.
Uh-huh. This is key. Drip irrigation for your trees, shrubs, flowers, allowed anytime, any day.
Anytime. And food plants, too.
Edible plants are completely exempt. No restrictions at all. So you see this. Well, it's like a design funnel that pushes you hard towards certain choices, water-wise choices.
Yeah, that makes sense. And the city's messaging kind of reinforces that, doesn't it? Encouraging brown lawns in summer?
It does. It's like creating a sort of psychological drought. It's shifting the perception of what a desirable, well-maintained garden actually looks like. Brown can be okay in August.
So given all that, the classic green carpet lawn, it feels like its days are numbered.
Increasingly, yes. I mean, think about it. Lawns are thirsty. They contribute big time to that 50% jump in water use during summer.
And they're monocultures, right? Not much ecological value.
Precisely. So if the lawn is fading, what's stepping in?
Good question.
The modern meadow idea is really taking hold. And it's not just letting weeds run wild, okay?
Uh-huh. Right. It's designed.
Totally designed. It's a careful mix. Maybe 60, 65% of what we call well-behaved grasses. Ones that don't aggressively spread.
Okay.
And then 35, 40% pollinator-friendly perennials.
Yeah.
You get this beautiful, naturalistic look, but it's planned.
How do you make sure it doesn't just look messy, especially in a city yard?
That's where design elements come in. Clear pathways, maybe a nice seating area, or even some sculpture. These things frame the meadow.
Ah, so they signal intention. This is deliberate, not neglected.
Exactly. It shows a value shift. It's not just pretty. It's a working ecosystem.
Moving beyond the plants themselves, people are really blurring the lines between indoors and outdoors, aren't they? Extending the living space.
Oh, absolutely. The louvered pergola is a huge trend for that. You know, those roofs with the adjustable slats.
Yeah, I've seen those. Pretty neat.
Total game changer for Vancouver weather. Touch of a button, you get sun, shade, or rain protection. It makes the patio usable almost year-round.
And outdoor kitchens are getting more elaborate, too, but there are rules there as well.
Definitely. Full-on culinary setups are popular.
Mm.
But remember, wood-burning fire pits, banned. Air quality concerns.
Right. So gas or propane only if you want that cozy fire element.
Certified gas or propane units, yeah.
Yeah.
That's the legal way for your outdoor gathering.
And managing all this, water, lights, smart tech must be playing a role.
A huge role. Smart irrigation controllers are almost essential now. They use real-time weather data.
So they water only when needed.
Yeah.
And comply with the rules automatically.
Exactly. They adjust schedules, skip watering if it rains. It takes the guesswork out and helps you avoid those fines. Precision watering.
That sounds incredibly useful.
It is.
Yeah.
And, you know, the real killer app tying into that, drip irrigation. Because of that anytime watering exemption we talked about.
The convenience factor.
Huge. Immense convenience and peace of mind. And then you add smart lighting, extending how late you can comfortably use your outdoor room. It all connects.
It feels like there's also a deeper shift beyond just efficiency. Gardens as like personal sanctuaries.
Yes, very much so. That wellness aspect is big.
Yeah.
Think therapeutic gardens, fragrant plants like lavender, maybe a small soothing water feature.
Yeah.
Spots for quiet reflection.
Mm.
And tying into that and the water rules, foodscaping. Integrating edible plants right into the main landscape design.
Because they're exempt from watering restrictions.
Exactly. So it's practical.
Yeah.
And provides fresh food and that connection to nature. It all starts to layer together.
So the big takeaway seems to be this convergence. Native plants, maybe some food production, wellness features, all wrapped up in a water smart design.
That's the direction. highly functional, multi-layered gardens. And, you know, from a practical standpoint, yes, sustainable landscapes might cost a bit more upfront, maybe 15, 25% more initially.
Oh, yeah.
But the long-term savings are massive. You could use up to 75% less water. Over 10 years, the overall cost can be like one-fifth of maintaining a traditional lawn.
Wow, one-fifth. That's significant. So it really redefines well-maintained, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. It's not about that perfect emerald green lawn during a summer drought anymore. It's about a garden that's thriving, biodiverse, resilient.
And it adds value to your home, too.
Studies suggest, yes, potentially boosting property value by 15, 20%. It's becoming a strategic investment, really. Future-proofing your home against climate change.
So it's more than just adaptation. Vancouver's landscapes are evolving, becoming these sophisticated systems supporting both us and the planet. It's a really compelling vision for city living.
It really is.
So thinking about all this, what stands out most to you? What would your ideal, resilient Vancouver garden look like, both for your own well-being and, you know, for the future? Something to think about.